Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Yo, what up? Welcome to another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. I am Patrick, and I am here with my man, Vubang. What's up, Vubang?
What's up?
And we want to talk about the number 15, the 15th spot, potentially, on this Golden State Warriors roster. And it's still debatable whether or not they will use it going into the season. Let me ask you this, man. Like, do you think they're going to use it on anyone?
The 15th spot, I think they have to.
Why?
Because, I mean, there's so much good competition at that. I guess my question to you is, do you like Gary Payton II and Avery Bradley as much as I do?
Or do you like Jordan Bell?
No, let's not go through the Jordan Bell experience again.
I do. I think the Warriors need somebody who can hound on defense because Klay's not here. And when Klay comes back, no guarantee he can do that. Kelly Oubre is not here. Kent Bazemore is not here. Andre Iguodala is too old to do that on the regular basis, and you don't want to waste him that way. And I've been saying all summer that I am a big Gary Payton II fan, and I'm stoked for him that he's able to, for the first time, I think, in his career, he said, go into a training camp and try to prove himself as a player instead of coming in on a 10-day or a G League call-up and try to fit in somehow. Now he gets a chance to meld in. So
Gary Payton II is the reason why I don't think I understand how to watch basketball. Because
Why?
Because I don't get it. I mean, I see him and he looks really great out there. Like, can you tell me what's wrong with this game? Other than the fact that he misses dunks.
Well, when have you seen him really great?
I guess that's a good answer.
League, right? Summer League, and that's when he missed the dunks.
Summer League and preseason and like garbage time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm no GP2 expert, but he's 28 and he's playing in the Summer League. I would just put it out there as inconsistency, you know? Probably, and he's not a true point guard, so I think that has generally hurt him. I'm surprised he hasn't stuck in the league as a defensive ace, you know, because that's why I want him. But, you know, sometimes people just develop and differently, so I can't really say what he did when he got out of Oregon State and how he tried to make a league and couldn't stick. I'm not too sure. But, you know, I mean, when you watch him play a little bit last season, I mean, you could see it, right? Like, he did a couple good things, but like, you didn't want him in there running the show per se, right?
It's just weird that he's like kind of sticking at the end of the bench two-way level with the Warriors. Like, wouldn't a team like Sacramento just put a flyer on him and just give him like a two-year deal just to see what happens? Even to sell jerseys, for God's sake.
Would that sell jerseys?
I don't know. Like, if you're a Gary Payton Sr. fan. I don't know. I just really think he needs to be in the league somehow.
I'm hoping he can stick somewhere if it's not the Warriors. And if it is the Warriors, I'll be pretty happy.
I don't think any of us want Michael Mulder.
Yeah, I think.
It's just weird to see a three-point specialist not make threes when it matters.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we're up by 10. Nails a shot. When we're down by 2, clank, 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 less than a minute left. Yeah, I don't really want to keep Mulder on the team. I feel like Moses Moody could do a lot of the things
Mulder
does off the bench. He has longer arms, right? Like, his Mulder has long arms for a 6'3 dude, but like Moody has 6'11 arms and he's 6'6. And I'm sure he can shoot almost as well. You know, he just needs a little bit more seasoning. So if you're going to be at the end of the bench, I'd rather throw Moody in there than Michael Mulder. But the question is, you need a ball hound, right? Like somebody who's going to get him up on Dame or on Kyrie for 5-10 minutes a game. You know what I mean? Just tire those dudes out, right? Especially when they're hot. Yeah, I'll take Gary Payton II over Michael Mulder. I've said that all summer and I'll still do that. But when they said they were going to sign Avery Bradley to the training camp roster, I don't know. My ears perked up. What's your thoughts on AB?
Oh man, did you see him play at all in Miami?
I didn't actually.
I imagine they checked it with Andre Iguodala to see if he still had it in him.
So he played with Miami last couple of years?
Actually, Houston and Miami. God, Boston was a long time ago.
Honestly, like, here's the thing. I think if Avery Bradley can prove himself, well, the thing I worry about him is injury history, right? Like, I get it that he's a vet and he has more experience and you know what he brings to the table as a defender. But what good is that going to do if he's hurt for like a month? Whereas Gary Payton, more of an unknown, doesn't have that long-term NBA experience, but seems to be healthier and bouncier and not as fragile. So if it's an open competition, I go with whoever shows out the best. I mean, this is the opportunity Gary Payton has said he's wanted. And so I love to see the competition. I love to see how it turns out. Out of those dudes vying for the 15th spot, who do you want?
I mean, I think I want the best of Avery Bradley, but we keep forgetting that Boston was just like 6 years ago. He's not the same.
He's definitely not the same.
Yeah, I guess I would keep it empty then, now that you've talked me out of Gary Payton.
Oh, I want Gary Payton. Okay.
I don't know. Keep talking about height. So
No. Like,
who's the best defensive player out of all those guys? It's Gary Payton, right?
I would say Gary Payton because lack of injury history, the desire to stick in the league and knowing that that's his role and the overall bounciness, athleticism, I go with that.
I will keep it empty then just for the pod. So we have something to talk about.
But on a opening day roster construction thing, hypothetically, right? So yeah, there's no Clay. So do you want somebody to fill in that role even more so?
That makes sense. Yeah.
Right, because Poole ain't going to do it. Iguodala can't do it. You could try Moody, but he's a little – I mean, he's a 19-year-old rookie. He's not as quick a foot. He might not be as good of an on-ball defender. He's more of a team defense guy. So, sure, take Gary Payton II.
I'm going to buy his jersey now, thanks. In order to not be dated, I'll just get the Oregon State version then.
Who on the Warriors – has the most pressure on them going into the season? Players. I have a few guys in mind, but I want to see your top three.
I mean, I would say obviously number one is James Wiseman, right? I mean, mm-hmm. We actually don't know if he's good or not. I mean, there's glimpses, but we really, 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 really don't know. I mean, the second, and I'll combine them because I'm going to cheat, are the two rookies, right? I feel like they're both at the same level right now, more or less. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. we think that Kuminga is better, but they're still coming in at the same level. And so it'll be really interesting to see who gets better. This reminds me of like, who do you like better, Victor Alexander or Chris Galling? if everybody's old enough to remember that. Like, I guess Chris Galling's better, but if you think about now, then Chris Galling is not better, considering he might be in jail. The third, I think the surprise one for me is Jordan Poole. Like, I feel like he has a certain trajectory and this is the year we find out if that trajectory is real or not.
Interesting. So you're putting all the pressure on the four young guys.
Yeah. I mean, what do the old guys need? What do you think their pressure is? In some ways, this is a great year because they have an excuse. They have a built-in excuse to not do well.
Well, my list, my first person is James Wiseman as well. I think he has a lot of pressure on him because he's kind of been a zero for the last 10 months. And a lot of it isn't his fault, but he needs to show that he was worth the second pick overall in the 2020 draft. There's a lot of pressure on him because his lack of development so far puts pressure on the front office, right? It puts pressure on the coaching staff, puts pressure on the new development staff. It puts pressure on Draymond having to play center more often, even if they still want to go small ball route, you know? So like he caught so much flack in the past 10 months from the national media and fans, especially local fans, that he needs to take a step forward just to show he's any good. And that the Warriors' ability to develop players hinges on how he looks this season. Sure, Jordan Poole has come along, but if Wiseman doesn't show anything, then it's like, wow, we just drafted Patrick O'Brien.
If I were going to play devil's advocate real quick about James Wiseman, if he played for like a Houston Rockets right now, I feel like there'd be a lot of pressure to perform. And if he played for a tried and true championship team like the Bucks, it's different. But with the Warriors, I feel like with the built-in excuse and with the great players, there's also still a group of young players that he can mature with. I feel like this is a great position to be in for him.
Yeah.
Having two other players that are rookies coming up, and it's weird to say, but he's a second year player. So it's a little bit of pressure off than last year. I think last year was the most. I think the year before that, when he was in Memphis, was probably the most pressure he's had in his life because he wasn't playing and had to live up to something that couldn't be done. And then last year was the second most pressure because he's actually playing in the league, but he showed glimpses, right? Yeah. This year is probably the third least of his last 3 years.
Here's the thing. Like, I think some of these guys have pressure on them, but it's not like the worst pressure, right? I think that's kind of what I'm hearing. It's like, and that's true, right? Like if he were supposed to be the savior of a franchise, that'd be brutal, right? If he was supposed to be like, if he were like Kwame Brown or something like that, right? And the other thing for Wiseman, it's like, yeah, he has pressure, but it's also, he has a low bar to attain, I think. One is stay healthy. Two is fit your role, know your role, play your role. He doesn't have to do as much as he had tried to do last year. So like there's pressure on him, but yeah, there is less that he has to do. I actually don't think, going down your list, I don't really think Kuminga and Moody have that much pressure on them. I think to me, the Warriors as an organization have like set the table for them. It's like, okay, we're not expecting anything really from these guys. They're really young and they're not going to be in the starting lineup like the way Wiseman was last year. So for someone like Moody, he can play spot minutes, like as a backup guard or wing. He doesn't have to do too much. And Kuminga, no one's expecting him to do anything outside of the spectacular mashing on someone's head and clapping and smiling about it. I mean, think about this, man. Like James Wiseman, Jonathan Kuminga, and Moses Moody are like closer in age to Steph's oldest kid than they are to Steph.
But let me tell you this. This is a different type of pressure. Their pressure isn't to save a franchise or be the best player possible based on their pick status. Their pressure is to be a small piece or a medium piece to a championship team. Like that's the pressure that they face. They already face the pressure of winning a championship at this age.
So it's just like pressure of being a part of this team, not like a pressure of...
They just need to be a positive to a championship team. That's a different type of pressure than scoring 20 and 10 for a bad team.
My second person with the most pressure is Clay, because pressure he's going to put on himself to get anywhere close to where he was before. And because so much of the team's identity, like this whole Bob Myers always saying, we need to see the team together, like this roster healthy and playing. That's Clay, you know, that you don't need to read between the lines. That's Clay Thompson. And it's kind of common knowledge that if Clay is not close to what he is by the time the playoffs roll around, then the Warriors aren't really contenders. So again, not his fault per se, but just, that's just pressure, right? Like it may be one of those things where he's not like oh my God, like I feel so much pressure about it. But like, you know, there's a lot riding on his performance overall and his return from these two devastating injuries.
Yeah, I am really positive and high on Clay's return. I rewatched some videos the other day where they highlighted all of his best games, where, you know, 4 dribbles to get 40 whatever points, 11 dribbles to get 60 points. I mean, we're not expecting a playmaker dribbling guard. We're expecting the greatest catch and shoot player of all time. And in media day, he said he has his defensive stance down. Like he said he has his sideways motion down.
Awesome.
That's what he said. I mean, we don't know if it's really true, but he said he has it back. And so,
is that when he's defending Chris DeMarco?
Yes, exactly. He's defending a scarecrow in the middle of the field, wherever the hell he is. We don't expect him to lock down the best player anymore. I don't think they'll ask him to do that. I think there's a very low bar that the position that he's being asked to play is not expected to do much, but he's been a Hall of Fame version of that, mm-hmm. right? He's mm-hmm. been a Hall of Fame version of the 3-and-D player.
Yeah.
Which is incredible, right? So he just needs to be the 3-and-D player. And I don't think he needs to be the Hall of Fame version.
If he can be that 3-and-D guy and they can spread the defensive assignments around, take that away from him so he doesn't have to deal with all that stuff right away, then great.
We just need guys that are not liabilities.
Sure,
because for the past 2 years, there's been liabilities everywhere.
Yeah.
Like we just need net zero.
I say this again and again. I mean, it's exciting to see the bench and have it not be all G leaguers, right? Like who are under 25, right? And that's a huge step forward. For Clay, man, like that's the thing. Like I feel good about what he can do when he comes back. It'll suck because I'll always wonder if he was just turning the corner to being like an all-around player in that 2019 finals. He was always adding to his game. And he might get back to that, but we'll see. And again, like kind of with Wiseman and not as a cop-out, like the bar is definitely lower than what he was when he first got injured. So fingers crossed on that. My third person was Andrew Wiggins. And I say Wiggs. I think there's pressure on him to continue, you know, to not fall off. I mean, there'll be pressure on him to continue to play like the perimeter defense that Clay probably won't be able to. And there'll be pressure on him to be consistent, right? As officially the third scoring option in the starting lineup. Another week of the NFL season means another shot to win big at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. The last 0-0 tie in the NFL was in 1943, so I'd say this is a no-brainer. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code TBPN, throw down $1 on any NFL game, and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's promo code TBPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I want to ask you something. So one of the things that all the Warrior podcasts always say is this team would be good if JTA, Michael Mulder, all those guys are no longer the 10th or 12th best player, right? They need to be the 13th best player. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Do you think it's worth it to rank all the players in order right now to see where those guys are?
Sure. So we're going to rank the roster?
Yeah. So this whole thing is to figure out where Juan Toscano-Anderson is on the 15-man roster. Because what would you say his rank was last year? 8? 9?
When they were healthy with Oubre and Wiseman, probably like 8. because they ended the season with only eight dudes they were playing, and bench was JTA, Poole, and Mulder.
All right, so this is what we're doing, right? So we're ranking the roster for this year to see where all of our off the bench players are in terms of how good they are in relation to they were last year, right? So the ideal version of this rank is what we think will be a championship contender. So, for example, if we think Juan Toscano-Anderson was like the eighth best player last year, which he might have been, he needs to be like the 13th, 14th best player this year in order for the team to be good, which means Bielitsa, Porter, all those guys are playing to their best version. That's what I'm hoping to accomplish here.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? So like, for example, I have Otto Porter Jr. in the eighth slot, right? Like that is the ambitious Washington Wizards version of Otto Porter Jr.
Okay.
Right. Hold that on. Is the best of the best of Otto Porter Jr. I mean, obviously best of the best would have been like the third best out of like the Bradley Beal, John Wall team. Are you ready?
Yeah, sure. I'll let you guide this one. Go for it.
Okay. So number one, Steph Curry, obviously.
Yep.
Number two, Klay Thompson.
Yep.
Number three, Andrew Wiggins.
Nope.
Really? Who do you have?
Yeah, I got Draymond up in there.
So you're saying the best version of Draymond would be better than the best version of Andrew Wiggins?
Oh, okay. I guess I'm confused about the rules, but like, we're never going to see the best version of Andrew Wiggins. That ship sailed. Like,
oh, no. I meant like, let's just, yeah, I'm not saying that it's going to be Maple Jordan, Andrew Wiggins. I'm just saying like, is he going to play the same as he did for that one small stretch before the bubble? Right. That's the best version of himself for the Warriors so far.
Right. I'll stick with Draymond Green at number three.
Okay. And now I'm not saying Draymond from like 2016 Draymond. Like, I don't think we can get that again. But like, in the best version of himself in this role, would he be better than Andrew Wiggins? Right. But this is fine. This is flip. I mean, I have Draymond Green right after. So
yeah.
Number five, I have Jordan Poole.
Yep. Same here.
Okay. Number six, I have James Wiseman.
I have Kevon Looney.
I have Kevon Looney next, so it's the same, right? Number eight, yeah. I have Otto Porter Jr. I know that's crazy.
Same.
Really?
No, it's same here. I have Otto Porter Jr. because he was a very good player. And
not that long ago.
Yeah, and he could do it if he's still young.
Number nine, I have Jonathan Kuminga.
Same here.
This is kind of crazy. Number 10, I have Andre.
Same here.
Number 11, I have Moses Moody.
I have JTA at 11.
Oh, that's pretty high.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned.
No, I wouldn't be, because JTA has proven what he is. You know what I mean? You're not rolling him out there like one-on-one as like the best player. He's improved, right? Like, we know his role. And if he is good at that, if he continues to do that,
yeah,
then I put him at 11.
Gotcha. Yeah, I agree. That makes sense.
Okay.
Number 11, I have Moses Moody. Okay. Number 12, I have Bielitsa.
I have Moses Moody at 12.
Okay. Number 13, I have JTA.
I have Bielitsa.
Okay. And number 14, I have Damian Lee.
Same here.
And number 15, Gary Payton.
Yep.
So I think the main difference we have in this exercise is that I would be concerned if JTA is 11th best player on the roster, right? I'm fine with him being the 13th best player, because that means there's been a lot of people either playing to their league average from their height, right? That means Bielitsa played as well as he did at his best.
So I have JTA at 11. So for me, it would be Bielitsa is the one that I would hope to surpass him just by being like a stretch five or whatever. But I think JTA in front of Moody, Damian Lee, Gary Payton, those make sense to me. I mean, Moody is a rookie, right? Like JTA will definitely do more than him as basically Andre Iguodala light, you know? And at least for this season. Next season, different story.
Yeah, I guess I'm getting less concerned about JTA being 11 for you then. That's still lower than what he was last year.
Yeah. Yeah. I I definitely agree, especially since Iguodala, Kuminga, Porter are on this squad instead of who was on the squad last year instead of Smiley.
I think no matter what happens this year, the regular season matters again, but there's also a hope of a championship. And those two things haven't been around since the 2015-16 season.
I think, you know, I look this year, and this might be a longer podcast topic later on, but like, I just take the long view with this. You know, people look at the roster, you write it up, and it's like, oh, wow, this is a good team. Clay's coming back. But it's all about towards the end of the season, right? Because that's when some of these young guys will start showing if they've developed. That's when Clay will show if he's healthy. That's when some of these older dudes, these reclamation projects, will show if they were worth it, right? And so let's not judge this team at the very beginning. You know, it's going to be a process. It's going to be kind of an evolution. Like, that's what we've learned, especially the last couple seasons. Like, how do you map out this season so that you are, knock on wood, peaking at the right time? I guarantee you, like, the Lakers are going to be resting a lot of dudes and like, hey, it's your turn tonight, until it's time to actually, you know, play those, get those 16 wins.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think fighting for the 7th or 8th seed and realizing that, knowing just deep down inside you can't really win the championship, is a different type of feeling than fighting for the 4th or 5th or even 3rd seed and knowing you have like a slim shot or a pretty good, not bad shot at the championship. Yeah. I also think Steph Curry and Draymond, I mean, Draymond for sure is going to be playing a lot harder during the regular season.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Knowing that there is some hope at the end.
Yeah. There's a lot of dynamics going on with this team, you know, a lot of dynamics that actually matter, right? At the front end and the back end of the roster.
Can you imagine what it's going to be like when Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond, Andre Iguodala, and Kevon Looney is the lineup?
It's going to be awesome, man. You know?
Yeah.
A bunch of old dudes and one dude who looks way older than them.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that is another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Patrick Epino, E-P-I-N-O, or at Oakland Warriors. Check us out at OaklandWarriors.com, and be sure to tell your fellow Warrior fan friends to tune in and listen. The Oakland Warriors podcast is produced by National Film Society and is a part of the Basketball Podcast Network. That's it. Music in this episode provided by Paper Sun. Special thanks to Paul Amardo for production support. See you next time, and go Dubs.